A reading from Malachi, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When Malachi today were confronted with that image that is not everywhere throughout the Bible, but in many places, Old Testament and New, about God being a refining fire. And it's something that we want to take seriously, because so often we think about our faith in God saving us and saving us for a future, something that's always out there and not something that engages us now. But this refining fire comes to us now. And I've said this before, we've talked about it, a clarification. Even when we hear John the Baptist say that there would be one who comes after him, he baptizes only with water, but one would come after him who baptizes with fire and with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we want to remember, that even the Holy Spirit, as much as He's going to bring warmth and passion to us about our love for Jesus and what He commands, He's also the force by which we are refined. We're sanctified. And so sometimes we might be a little bit too cozy with the idea of the Holy Spirit, because He's really coming to us as a flame that's going to heat us up and purify us. And all this is to say, what we're hearing in Malachi and everywhere where we hear about being a refining fire is that God wants us to become what He originally created us to be. And we're not that. Remember, there's a story that goes that we were created and He looked upon everything He made and He said, it is good. But that's not where we are. There was this little thing called the fall, a little problem with Adam and Eve and doing things that God didn't command, eating of a tree in the middle of the garden that they didn't need, and only to have their way. And consequently, we're not what we could be. And we will never be that apart from the grace of God and this refining fire in the work of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're really hearing is a challenge to become the person that we were created to be, all that we were created to be, and yet the power to do it doesn't reside with us. It resides in the Holy Spirit. It resides in this refining fire that's coming to us. God is refining fire. So having said that, let's think about it for a moment. What does He mean by refining fire? I don't know if you're like me. There are a lot of images in the Bible that don't make a lot of sense, because I've never refined silver or gold to make it pure. I've read about it. I can think about it, but I've never been there. But what it really involves is heating up something like gold or silver to 1,200 degrees. And when you heat gold or silver to that kind of heat, what happens is the impurities in it rise to the top. And so they can be skimmed off. In fact, the word scum, that we who would ever want to be called scum, right? Well, scum is what you clean off the top of silver or gold that's been heated to 1,200 degrees to be purified. It's of no use to anyone. It's the dregs, if you will. It's what's to be thrown out, to be tossed away. And so we hear about this refining fire coming to us, and that there are going to be trials and afflictions in life that are going to refine us back into the person that we were meant to be. Now, that image, you may easily be able to access that. I always look for something that I can relate to that I've done personally. And the image that comes to mind is clarifying butter. Because I love food. I'm a foodie. Has anybody ever clarified butter? Do you know what clarified butter is? Does anyone know? It's a weird thing. You may have never heard of it. I cook a lot. And I bet you've had this experience, though. Have you ever put butter in a pan, like to cook a grilled cheese or something, and it turns brown, it scorches easily? Yep. Ironically, it's not the butter that does it. It's all the other things that are in butter that burn. And so if you clarify butter, you can cook with butter at a much higher heat. So how do you clarify it? Well, you turn it on, you heat it up, you don't get it too hot. But I bet, go home and do this the next time you're cooking. Throw some butter in a pan and watch it happen. You heat up butter slightly, and there'll be three levels within the butter. At the top, there'll be this foamy stuff, just like I described, what rises to the top. But then at the bottom, there's this really heavy stuff. They're called milk solids, and they sink to the bottom. And so you have these three levels, and so you rake off the top, and you try not to penetrate the butter because you don't want to stir the bottom stuff back into the butter, and you rake off the top. Well, I'm a foodie, so I had to taste it. I mean, it is some kind of powerfully salty and buttery taste. But it's the stuff that burns. So if you're going to cook over high heat with butter, you got to get out of it. And then you have to be able to pour off the butter so that you don't get the stuff that's at the bottom. And when you do, you can cook butter at very high heat so that it won't ever brown. Cool. So that helps me, because I've actually done it and seen it. And I can get this image of getting all the things out of it that you don't need. So it's pure butter. No milk solids, no foam or imperfections or impurities that aren't needed to make food. So that's what we're talking about, getting rid of the things that aren't necessary. That's what this intense heat of life and afflictions and sometimes things that we bring upon ourselves, sometimes that God things God brings upon us, to get out of us the things that we don't need, that are just worthless, that we just carry around for no reason because of the fall, because of this thing that afflicts every single one of us. And so what I want to say is, do we want to take this seriously? Do we want this refining fire to come upon us and make us become the person that He created us to be? And of course, intellectually, we say yes to that. Absolutely. Until you think about being refined, until you think about what it means to be refined. And it begins with, I want you to think about this, and there are four little pieces of advice that might be worth our time to take home. The first thing that we have to admit is that we're not pure. We're not what God created us to be. That there is within us imperfections and things that need to be taken out and tossed away. And that's hard at times. You know, sometimes we forget about the fall, and then we go, but I wasn't a part of the fall. Of course we were, but we resist that. We'd rather not admit that there are things that need to be purified that are within us. But if we don't admit that, we're really not going to see God at work in us. We have to admit that we begin in this place having been created wonderfully and fearfully in the image of God, that there are now within us things that aren't useful to Him or to us in becoming the person He wants us to be. And so we want to acknowledge that we have a long way to go. I think about my own life. I've had a lot of refinement in the last 10 years. In fact, I'd like to take a vacation from refinement on occasion. I could do without some refinement. But it's only revealed, as much as I've enjoyed in the last 10 years, that I've got a lifetime ahead of me. You know, and I go, whew, you know. It's like everyone should go, okay, I've been out in the sun. It's 98 degrees. I need to dip in the pool. But you got to get back out of the pool and go back out there for some more refinement, because the heat needs to get to us. So we need to admit where we are. And then we have to admit where it is specifically that God wants to change us. Where does He want to refine us? Where does He want to heat us up and get rid of those things that aren't necessary to Him? Two obvious places to look would be areas of temptation, whether it's regard to acts of commission or omission, things that we know we shouldn't do that we do, or things that we don't do that we should do. You know, Paul talks about that in Romans 7. And so let's look at acts of commission, where we're tempted to do things that we know we're not supposed to do. When we're tempted to lie, to steal, to covet, to all those things that would be obvious to us. And I believe this to be true. It's not that we're never tempted in that way, but if we're followers of Jesus, those are often less obvious places to look, because we don't covet, and we don't steal, and we don't kill. We don't bear false witness. Those things that, because God has refined maybe those things out of us. But the area that we might not necessarily naturally do an inventory of is places of omission, the things that we should do that we don't do. My best example for me as a man is, you know, in Ephesians 5, that we're called to love our wives as much as Christ loved the church. And, you know, that's a tough thing to live up to. Any husband, thinking husband, is going to admit that he doesn't love his wife as much as Christ loved the church. We, on our best day, you know, we might approach it, but day in and day out, we fall short of that mark. And so we're being asked to do something, and we don't do it. We didn't break a law. We just didn't live up to the standard that God set. And so that's another area is to look. So where is he asking me to do something, for example, to love my neighbor as myself, or to give alms, to care for the poor and the outcast, to care for the widow and the orphan that lives on the margins of society? Where am I doing that or not doing that? That would be a place to look. But there's one place that go beyond temptation, commission and omission, those things that he commands that we don't do, those things that he commands that we break. And there might be some other places to look. It's areas of bitter root. And I don't know if you've ever talked about that or studied that in Scripture, but in Hebrews it talks about in the community, sometimes there's a bitter root, and it's a person that can be a difficult person to live with. It's a person that divides the community often because they're a challenge. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 29, and you can see in there what it is that they're talking about. There's a bitterness about us sometimes that makes us difficult to live with. Sometimes we, by our own design, but often because of things that have been inflicted upon us in our youth, we become bitter over time and are a challenge. And so we have to look at areas like that. Like, am I angry at times when I shouldn't be? Or why do I get angry at this person when they haven't actually done anything to me? Sometimes we're just responding to something that's out of our past. And those are things that God wants to refine out of us too. Any sense of a bitter root that makes us a challenge to live with, a challenge to love. And then, so that's a place to look where there might be bitter roots. And then, finally, because we want to keep this short, we have to ask for transformation. So the first thing is to admit that we're not pure, that we need to be refined, and that we have a long road ahead of us. The second was to look for those areas in which we need to be refined. Temptation, omission and commission, and the sense of bitter root. But lastly, I would say, if we really want this refining fire to come upon us, we have to ask to be refined. And that means you have to redirect your prayers, because sometimes we direct our prayers to what we need. You know, and that, Lord, you know, provide for my family. And great prayer, you know. Lord, bring wrath upon that person that's done me wrong. Maybe not as good. But sometimes we're tempted to pray that way for God to order our lives. What if the first prayer we said when we got up in the morning, God, refine me. Make me more like Jesus. Make me more like the person you created me to be. And began there. And then those other things might come into perspective. What do we really need? Do I need to be praying for justice for somebody that's done me wrong? I don't want justice for myself. So I better not be praying that for others. And so we have to humble ourselves and submit and say, you know, Lord, let the day begin with you refining me. Making me more like Jesus. Making me more like the person you created me to be, restoring that image that was there originally. And that allows the refining fire to go to work in us, because we recognize the need and we're inviting the Holy Spirit to refine us and change us, purify us, getting rid of the stuff that rises to the top, the stuff that needs to settle to the bottom, such that there's just something pure in there that's useful. And that's what God wants us to be. Amen. Amen. Any thoughts on that?